The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. No more Northwestern jokes at the top of the show, Tony. None.
Tony Kornheiser understood. How'd the Bears do?
They stink. I mean, does everybody named Matt, who is the head football coach, are they all brain dead? Well, what is the deal on Matts, who are head football coaches? We got back-to-back Matts, and they both stink when it comes to offensive football. They stink. And the guy in Charlotte ain't any good either.
On this after four games, you got the guy stinking. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Eagles are 4-0. The Dak-less Cowboys win again. The Mets get swept. But we begin today with the Buffalo Bills coming back from a 20-3 deficit and beating Baltimore in Baltimore on a last-second field goal, 23-20. With 4 minutes to go and the score tied at 20, Baltimore coach John Harbaugh declined to take a 19-yard field goal, went for the touchdown from the 2-yard line. Lamar Jackson was intercepted. Ravens ended up losing by 3. Wilbon, are you pinning this loss on Harbaugh?
No. I'm going to pin it on the Ravens. This is the second time they've, blown a 17-point lead, Tony. They don't play well at home. I think they've lost a couple, and going back to last year, like 3 or 4 straight at home. I don't understand that. But, No. I don't need to blame anybody. As I told you earlier this morning on your podcast, I didn't go red zone on that game. That was the game of the day for me. I watched that whole game. And I didn't like the play called down there when you got Lamar Jackson. And so, but I thought going for the touchdown from the 2 then, in that context, was the right move, Tony. I thought it said it, on my text chain. I'm going back and forth with people saying, kick the field goal. They're like, no, go for the touchdown here when you got that dynamic quarterback. It didn't work. I know it's a results-based business. I'm going to give some credit to Buffalo. Right. And I'm not going to say that Harbaugh should be, fired or even put in jail because of the call he made.
So I generally like when people go for it. But when you miss it, there's an accounting.
Yes.
You have to say this is what happened and maybe I made the wrong call. I think if you get the field goal there, it changes the way Buffalo plays. There is a psychological difference playing in a tie game with really nothing to lose and playing when you're behind and having to get down the field and having to get a field goal to tie. So I might have gone the other way on that. Baltimore has now blown 2 games at home. They should be 4-0.
Yep.
And they are 2-2. And sometimes you can't make up these losses. Last year, I think I have this right. I think they started 8-3. And they lost 6 in a row, 5 of which, Mike, were decided by 3 points or fewer, and 2 of which, I believe, Harbaugh went for the win
but
and
Jackson,
didn't go for
Lamar
the tie.
Lamar Jackson was hurting so out there, most of those. So I
there's a history
those.
There.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be tremendously critical of John Harbaugh because he's won a Super Bowl. I mean, you win a Super Bowl, you get the right to make choices like this. I will say this, though. Buffalo should feel great today. Buffalo and Kansas City. They lost last week. They went on the road week against good
tough
teams.
Opponents, yes.
Tampa Bay and Baltimore. Good teams. And they won those games. They reestablished themselves as the best teams in the AFC. They
agreed,
did. They
no question.
Great. Yeah.
Over in the NFC East, the Giants beat the Bears. As you know, I'm upset about that. And the Eagles and Cowboys continue to roll. Philly's the league's only 4-0 team after coming back from 14 down to beat the Jaguars. And Cooper Rush led the Cowboys past the Commanders for their 3rd straight win since Dak Prescott went down, Tony, which was the biggest win in the NFC East. Your division.
So the correct answer is the Eagles had the biggest win.
What?
Because they stand alone in the league in terms of being undefeated.
Yeah.
They're 4-0. They came back, as you say, from 14 down and outscored Jacksonville, a pretty good team, 29-7 after that. They hounded Trevor Lawrence into 4 fumbles and an interception. So what my head tells me, is that it's the Eagles. But, Mike, I'm going to be honest. In my heart, I feel it's the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I feel it's Cooper Rush now going 3-0
yes.
with that particular squad. And I understand that they haven't beaten great teams. On Monday night, Giants weren't a great team. Washington is a terrible team. But their division games, they tend to be closer. Look, everybody said the same thing, Mike. Everybody said when Dak Prescott went out, they were going to sink like a rock.
Yes.
And this guy, Cooper Rush, has kept them afloat and saved their season. He's got 4 touchdown passes. He's got no picks. He's been rock solid, steady. You know, so in my heart, it's the Cowboys doing that.
Tony, it is the Cowboys. The answer to the question is the Cowboys. And that defense, by the way, which continues to be stellar. But Tone,
yeah.
when the Cowboys lost Dak Prescott, you and I, we pulled out a figuratively a casket that day on the Cowboys and their season. We pronounced them dead. R.I.P. Yeah. Cowboys. Right. And this guy has won these games. And now they don't have to rush Dak Prescott back in there. He can sit at least 1 week. And so that's the deal. I mean, I think it's the Cowboys, Tone. Look, if I was doing a power ranking, and I told you this morning on your podcast about this too, the Eagles would be 1 for me. I know the AFC may be tougher. That's not the question. Best team in the league, rank them, starting with 1. Philadelphia Eagles, 1. And so, I'm not going to try to diminish what they did against the Jaguars, Tone. But come on now, Cooper Rush and the Cowboys being 3-0 in the games without Dak.
Your ranking system, the Wilbon Power Index, the WPI as the Eagles first. I just will say this one more thing about Cooper Rush. If this was track, he ran his leg at a relay. Now he's going to hand the baton off.
Yeah.
They didn't lose any ground when he ran his leg at a relay. And I know you hate the Cowboys, but I'm glad you're giving them credit. Let's move to baseball. The defending world champions played like it this weekend. Atlanta beat the Mets 3 straight. Wilbon, you talked about Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer giving the Mets a big advantage over everyone. Well, Atlanta beat both of them back-to-back. How do you think this sweep will affect the Mets?
Well, Tony, I wondered about that. Just psychologically and emotionally, where does this leave the Mets? Does it affect them at all? I mean, sometimes we get carried away and we pronounce things at the end of the regular season and how it's going to carry into the playoffs, and it doesn't carry into the playoffs, no matter what the team is. We've seen teams look bad at the end of the regular season in pro football. They get to week 1 of the playoffs and they start a roll.
Yeah, they're great.
So, I don't know that I want to go against DeGrom and Scherzer. I understand they gave up home runs. Neither was effective. They lost. And I thought at least one of them would win. I really thought both of them would win. And now you got to get them ready for the wild card series. They got to pitch. Now, should be able to go games 1 and 2.
They will.
But they got to go.
Yeah, they'll be fun.
Yeah. But, you know, this was a result I wasn't expecting. The Braves have looked like champions since the All-Star break. And particularly, like, all of August and all of September, they look like champs they are.
Yeah.
And the Mets have had this history of sort of choking, so this arises again.
Well, the Mets, I don't know why you say the Mets have a history of choking since they have 2 world championships.
2007, that's
a
long time ago, dude.
Which would be one more in the last 100 years than the Chicago Cubs have.
Long time ago.
One more than the Cubs.
The Cubs have won since the Mets, I know that.
Yeah, but they got 1 in the last 100 years, and the Mets have 2. So let me go backwards here on the Braves. I watched parts of all of these games. They were all good games. The Braves were down in a couple of these games, and they came back. Dansby Swanson and Matt Olson each had a home run in each of these 3 games. That is really clutch. And they beat multiple-time Cy Young winners, so they deserve all the good stuff. In terms of what you're talking about since a particular time in the season, this year they're 76-32 since June 1st. Last year, they were below 500 in July, and they closed 38-18. Atlanta closes like a freight train. Will it affect the Mets? The Mets get the Washington Nationals, the worst team in baseball, for the next 3 games. They will be able to set up their rotation. But, Mike, the Mets are a 98-win team. They got more wins than the Yankees. And they got humbled. They got humbled in Atlanta. Handled and humble.
Do you think it'll affect them? Do you think emotionally this will be baggage?
Yes.
I think we sort of agree on that.
I don't know how much, but sure, it just happened.
Yep.
Let's take a break. Coming up, what does the Dolphins firing of their neurologist tell us about the handling of Tua?
And how should Aaron Rodgers and the Packers feel about scraping by Bailey Zappe and the Patriots? I'd never heard of Bailey Zappe until yesterday.
Missed the opportunity. Well, nobody heard of him. They missed the opportunity by not naming him Zippy Zappe.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
No, that's Bailey when you, Zappe. You know.
When you saw him.
Pardon the interruption is presented by the refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, brought to you by Twisted Tea, part of Happy Hour.
Time to find out what's moving the multitudes. Let me see what's first here. Let's get the top.
Hail time!
Let's read it. The handwriting is so small. The neurologist who evaluated Tua against the Bills has been dismissed. What does that indicate to you?
Well, you know, in the culture we live in now, the blame game is going to be played to the highest level. And this guy is receiving the blame. He's being blamed for the second Tua injury. And that's to me, this is a one-line thing. They were going to blame him. Now, Tony, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Players Association and management. These things and these people who are in these roles now, this is collectively bargained. And so the Players Association had the right to sort of throw this guy out, to blame him and get him fired, have him dismissed. And they've done that. Does it mean football players aren't going to get injured? I mean, you do the best you can. And I don't know if this is the best they could do or not. But if people think the players aren't going to be injured and there aren't going to be on-field things that look awful, they're sadly mistaken. As I often say when this happens, then go play golf, damn it. Not that you play, you do the best you can, and you play football, and people are going to get injured. Sometimes bad.
Yeah, there was a clamor to get rid of somebody, and they threw this guy off the back of the train. It's as simple as that. I hope he's not being a scapegoat here. I hope there's sufficient evidence. But I'll say this, Mike. I'm not a medical doctor, and I don't know what the protocol is, and I don't know what is said in the tent. I don't know what it's saying.
Right, right.
And I'm pretty sure nobody at ESPN or Fox or NBC or CBS knows what's being said either. But there was just a howling to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
And let's see. What happens when somebody gets hurt next week? And it can even be the same circumstance. What are you going to fire that person too?
How should the Packers feel about their overtime win over the Patriots?
See, there's one key word in that question, only one that matters, win. They won the game. I mean, you know, the Packers aren't the 2007 Patriots or the 85 Bears. They're not that. They're not going to run. They lost the week, the opener. They're not going to go 15-2 now. They're not. They're not that great. They won a game at home. They should be relieved. Rodgers can tell everybody, all the cheeseheads, to relax. And they go about their business. They won a game in the National Football League. They should feel pretty good while trying to be better the next week.
Yeah. So the Patriots, who aren't a good team, really pounded Aaron Rodgers in the first half. Aaron Rodgers had a rating of 11.2. That's the worst rating he's ever had in a half in his entire career. He threw a pick six, only his fourth pick six. You know, they won the game, you're right, but on the other side, somebody named Zappi is moving the chains.
Yeah.
Somebody nobody ever heard of is moving the chains, and that goes to overtime. They're 3-1, and they haven't looked good. Now, they got a soft spot coming up. They got the Giants, the Jets, and Washington, and maybe they'll be all right in the same way we think the Mets may be all right, you know, the next time. But the Packers have to look at themselves right now and think, this isn't as smooth as we thought it was going to be.
Well, Aaron Rodgers
right?
said that. He said this is not sustainable. And there's going to be and should be that sort of self-examination and criticism because people are getting paid a lot of money. And in Green Bay, they expect to win. Although, you know, again,
right.
dynasty of one. I mean, it's not like Rodgers has won five or six of these things, even on some really good teams that have gotten close. The Packers are fine. Can I say it for him since he's not here? Relax.
Last one.
Is it too soon for the Steelers to start Kenny Pickett over Mitch Trubisky?
No. I mean, neither one of these guys is Terry Bradshaw or Ben Roethlisberger. You put them out there, they got a couple of quarterbacks. Maybe they have one. Maybe they have none. You find out. You play them both. I mean, Mitch Trubisky, they had a statue of him out in the parking lot in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field? No, they don't.
No.
So you play whoever you play that you think will give you an advantage in that week. Now, I mean, Pickett didn't play all that great. He threw at least, what, two interceptions or three? So
three.
We don't know that he – and Tomlin has not really shown his hand about what he's going to do next week. And you know what? He doesn't have to. So you play who you play. You coach him up. You get somebody ready to start Sunday.
It's not too soon to start him because you're not sitting down Ben Roethlisberger or Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
You're sitting down Mitch Trubisky, who means nothing to the people in Pittsburgh. Nothing. They don't know him from Mitch McConnell. And this kid went to Pitt, and everybody wants to see him play. Now, he scored two touchdowns running, which was exciting. He threw three picks, which was exciting in the same way. Mike, he threw the ball 13 times. None of them hit the ground. His team caught 10. The other team caught three. I mean, they want to see this kid play. They're not a good team, Pittsburgh. They're not a good team.
No, they're not.
Here's what they got next. This is tough. Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Miami, and Philadelphia. If this kid gets through that without being psychologically
maybe
scarred,
he'll, do a
he'll probably
rush.
Be all right.
Huh?
It's okay to play him. Enough email. Let's take one last break. Still to come, does Will Lutz's double doink deserve to be connected to your boy Cody Parkey's double doink?
No. And the White Sox and that Tony La Russa experiment, that appears to be done. Appears to be.
Completely predictable that they would fire the doctor.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by the refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 41st birthday, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. At his advanced age, the Zlatan is still playing in the top Italian league for AC Milan, though he's currently rehabbing a knee injury. The Zlatan has scored over 570 goals. He scored in each of the last four decades. He's played for Ajax, Juventus, Inter Milan, Barcelona, and Paris Saint-Germain. He's a title holder all over Europe. The Zlatan made over 100 appearances for the Swedish national team, and he's Sweden's all-time leading scorer with 62 goals. His 30-yard bicycle kick in 2013 for Sweden against England is considered one of the great goals of all time. When the Zlatan joined the Los Angeles Galaxy, he scored in his first game. He later came on the PTI show, and he killed it.
Why are you calling him the Zlatan, first of all? Second of all,
I like it.
Tony was in the studio in that clip. That must have been like 7 years ago. And Tony, usually when a great European player comes to America and plays in the, you know, MLS or the NASL, that's it, right? They're done.
That's right.
He went back and he's playing at a high level, as you mentioned, AC Milan. I mean, impressively, impressive.
Yeah. Happy anniversary, Steve Carlton. On this day, 50 years ago, The future Hall of Fame left-hander won his 27th game of the season as the Phillies, beat the Cubs 11-1. That season, the Phillies had only 59 victories. Carlton had 27 of them. Carlton was 27-10 with a 1.97 ERA. He had 41 starts. He went the distance in 30 of them. Carlton had 8 shutouts. He pitched 346 innings, 310 strikeouts. Great pitchers have great seasons. Koufax had them, Gibson had them, Palmer, Seaver. But my recollection is most of the time, they pitched on good teams. Carlton pitched on a last-place team. He won almost half their games himself. Mike, it has to be in the conversation for the greatest season ever, right?
There's no question, Tom. By the way, you left out purposely, I'm sure, my man Ferguson Jenkins. Ferguson Arthur Jenkins, who I think 267 complete games. But, Tony, the only guys I think of out there now in that group, that peer group, are Verlander and Scherzer. Like, if they had to go out there and have maybe not 23 complete games like Jenkins had that year, they'd have enough complete games. They'd be warriors. They'd stay out there. They'd go through the lineup a third time. They would tell some assistant general manager lackey boy to get the hell out of the dugout and stay away from the decision-making. Yeah. Those two guys. But, Tony, there's no more guys like Carlton. Baseball was exciting. Pitchers were stars.
I'm going to add one guy.
Who else?
Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw's not with them.
Javi Trails, Tony La Russa. The Hall of Fame manager announced this evening he will no longer manage the Chicago White Sox, and indeed, he will retire. La Russa, who turns 78 tomorrow, managed the White Sox to the playoffs last year after agreeing to come back at the request of his old friend Jerry Reinsdorf, who always regretted firing him 36 years ago. But the White Sox underperformed this year and were stuck in neutral when La Russa took leave from his managerial duties in late August to attend to a health issue. It's reported that doctors advised La Russa not to manage again. La Russa won championships with Oakland and St. Louis, could reportedly remain in the White Sox organization.
Well, Tony, you know, his sort of run as a terrific manager did start in Chicago with the White Sox. You know, in 1983, they might have been the best team. They didn't win. But Tony, the White Sox were the biggest disappointment in baseball this season. A lineup loaded and totally underachieving, and that falls at the feet of the manager, who's in the Hall of Fame. So it doesn't, it's a footnote to his career, but it happened now.
Thank you for talking. I had to drink water. My throat is parched. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Saints kicker Will Lutz double doinked a 61-yarder as the Saints lost to the Vikings. Flashbacks to your boy Cody Parkey?
No. Cody Parkey was like 41 or 44 yards, and it was a playoff game. No. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs beat Tom Brady and the Bucks. Did you find that significant?
Yes, in the way that Buffalo's win was significant. They reestablished themselves as powerful teams. Kansas City was never threatened in that game. Wisconsin fired head coach Paul Chris. Is that justifiable?
It's so unbelievably arrogant and stupid. And I hope this backfires on the cheeseheads who don't normally make arrogant, stupid decisions. Ben Simmons is going to play against the Sixers in Brooklyn tonight. Preseason, but are you intrigued?
No. If it was in Philadelphia, maybe. No, I'm not. Last one. Padres and Mariners clinch playoff first. Phillies can do it tonight against the Astros. Do you like their chances?
Phillies, they're too up, Tone. They're going to wind up winning, but I ain't rooting for Philly or Milwaukee. Not me.
We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. Harry Coolidge, shout out, belated birthday.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. Now to get you to Monday Night Football, here's Susie Culver and the Countdown Crew.